to Psalm 121. If you're familiar with the Psalms, you're already familiar with this passage. And I want to go here this morning as we think about, you know, the Church of Jesus Christ and all those that suffer and have gone through so much for the cause of Christ. I just really more of a reminder and just a real quick thought here from Psalm 121. It's a short psalm. I'm just going to read it here, 8 verses. It says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. Man, I want to talk to you just a few moments about God being our keeper. God our keeper. I get that from this Psalms. If you look at it in the Hebrew, the word keep there, it's actually shamar. It's used in several places just in this passage, at least 6 times. When you think about the word to keep, it means to hedge about or to preserve, to guard, and to keep. Amen. We serve a God that is a keeper this morning. Amen. He is our guard. He is our protection. He is our refuge. The words used several places throughout the scripture. God put man in the garden, the Bible says there in Genesis, just from the very beginning, to keep it or to preserve it. Man, after the fall, were driven from the garden, and the Lord God placed a cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden to keep the way of the tree of life. If you remember when God spoke to Cain after he had murdered his brother, and God asked Cain, says, where is Abel thy brother? And Cain's response was, am I my brother's keeper? Same Hebrew, shamar there. Am I my brother's keeper? And then God to Abraham later on in the book of Genesis, when he talks about his covenant, he says, this is my covenant which ye shall keep or protect or preserve or to guard. And then again, God to Jacob there in that vision that he had of the, what we call Jacob's ladder, when he saw the angels ascending and descending and the top of it into the heavens and the bottom of it on sitting on the earth. And God promised Jacob there that night. He says, and behold, I am with thee and will keep thee. So we could go on from this morning, but you understand the point that in the whole word of keep. And here in this psalm this morning, Psalm 121, it's given to us at least 3 times here. He says, I will not suffer thy foot to be removed. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Again in verse 4, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Verse number 5, the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. And 2 times in verse 7, the Lord shall keep thee or preserve thee, as it's interpreted there, but it's the same word that's given to us here. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. And then finally again in verse 8, the Lord shall preserve or the Lord shall keep thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. So we're talking about God being our keeper today. Amen. I know each of us could testify the fact that God has kept us. Amen. Why do we choose this text this morning on a day when we're talking about the persecuted church? We're talking about many that have even given their lives for the cause of Christ. Amen. You know, the Bible never hides the ugly details, does it? The scripture never tucks away the things that say, well, if your God is a keeper, then what about this or what about that? Amen. The scripture is given to us all together. And so when we read the Psalms and we read about God being our keeper, we understand it in light of all other scripture. And when we look at that thing of how it is that the keeping of God is worked out in scripture, and the people that had put their trust in the Lord. And even today, as Melody was sharing some of the testimonies of those people that were locked in prison, or even today are locked in prison, their testimony is this, that God is my keeper, that God is my present help. He has not deserted me. He has not left me. I can remember, as Melody had mentioned, some of the videos there that we had seen some time ago. And I remember that there were times in some of those individuals' lives that they had reached just the bottom. It's like they had just gotten to the point where they even wanted to die. You say, well, how do you get there? Well, I think even the Apostle Paul at one place talks about that he had even gotten to that point, that he despaired even of his life. I mean, because why? Because things had gotten hard. It's hard for us to relate to that sometime, isn't it? Amen? It's hard for us to relate to things getting that tough where you're just like, Lord, just take me. Or because, things are pretty smooth for the most part right now. But there's no guarantee that it's like that tomorrow, is it? But we know that God is faithful in all our situation and that he is our keeper. Now, look here at the Psalms. He says, Psalm 121, it's labeled as a song of degree. Now, we've looked at that before, and so we don't have to go into it in great detail. But this is the second of the 15 Psalms of degree, or the Psalms of ascent. Sometimes it's believed that these Psalms were written, these 15 Psalms were written, that the children of Israel, when they would pilgrim back, or their pilgrimage back into the land, when they would come to celebrate a feast day or a holy day or some type of celebrate a seasonal festival, that these songs would be sung. You know, much like if you're listening to the radio now, you know, we got Christmas coming up and they're already playing the Christmas songs. They're seasonal songs. Last thing I want to hear in July is a Christmas song, you know. Save that for the season. Now, there's some that we can sing. You know, we start talking about, I love that one. We talk about the faithfulness of God. Come all ye faithful. That's good any time of year, ain't it? Amen. Come all ye faithful. Come let us adore him. For he alone is worthy. Amen. That's a good song any time of the year. But that other stuff, talking about candy canes and fireplaces and all that, I don't need a fireplace in July. But yet these songs here were seasonal songs. They would sing them as they would ascend up. These songs of degree, they would sing them unto the Lord. You know, that God, rather it be from their pilgrimage, from their homeland, and maybe they were traveling back to Jerusalem for some feast, that God, they would be praying, Lord, you protect us on our journey. God, you keep us. And so this is the second of the 15 songs of degree that's given to us here in the book of Psalms. These pilgrimage processions, if you will, and they would sing these up. I would lift up mine eyes into the hills. So just kind of get that thought in your mind, because they were always going up. Rather, they were going to the temple. They were ascending up. And so I would lift up mine eyes into the hill from whence cometh my help. Now, whether or not there's some discussion or some debate of whether or not this is a question, but I want to first talk about the source of our keeping. Can we do that? The source of our keeping. Where does our help come from? Now, as they're ascending up and they're looking at that mountain, it could very well be that they're looking at the place of safety. When you think about a mountain, so often a city would be built up into a high place. You know, the reason for that would be obvious. You know, you can see your enemies coming from a long ways off. And so it could be very well that they're thinking about a mountain being that of a place of refuge or a place of safety. And so in that sense, it would be a positive thing, you know, that they would run to a mountain. If you remember another psalm over here in Psalm chapter number 11, as he's talking about fleeing away from trouble, Psalm 11 says this, in the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? Amen. So here the psalmist is making this clear. I don't need to run to a mountain for safety. Amen. I have a God as my refuge. In the Lord put I my trust. Amen. Where is our trust this morning? Amen. Even before I knew the order of the service this morning, as far as us remembering and praying for and thinking about the persecuted church, this passage kept coming to my mind this week, Psalm 121. When I look into the mountain, from whence cometh my help? Amen. And I'll just go ahead and just be straight with you this morning. This came to me after Tuesday. after that great red wave we were going to get. Didn't happen. More of a drip, I guess. Amen. And so I was a little discouraged. It's like, well, where's my red wave? I was dependent upon that red wave. And this verse came to my mind, verse 121. I will look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. And so God was making it very clear. Listen, your hope ain't in a red wave. Amen. It doesn't matter what political persuasion you may be. It does matter. But as far as our help this morning, it's not found in the White House. I mean, it's not found in the House or who controls the House or who controls the Senate. Because ultimately, we know who's in control. Amen. Our help comes from the Lord this morning, who made maker of heaven and earth. The psalmist makes it very clear to us today that in the Lord I put my trust. How say into my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain. I don't need to run to another refuge today. I don't need to run to another place of safety. Why telling me to run here or run there? In God I put my trust. Amen. And so the psalmist goes on. He says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hill from whence comes my help. Now, whether or not we're talking about a place of safety, but also that mountain could represent a menace. Lord, don't move that mountain, but give me strength to climb. God of the mountain is still God in the valley. Amen. And so if we're talking about a mountain being that, now, I'll just be straight. The older I get, the more a mountain is a place of, it's a trial. I mean, why? Because we got to climb that mountain, don't we? Amen. And so when we think about a mountain, is I think it was Zerubbabel there, Zechariah was prophesying. He says, what are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become a plain. Amen. Christ came for what purpose? To make the crooked path straight. To make the high mountains a plain, a flat place. Amen. Jesus came to make a way for us this morning. He came as our refuge. He came as our strength. He came to remove. Amen. That's why he told his disciples, listen, if you have faith of greater mustard seed, you could say unto that mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. But then I was reading later on this week where he says, if you have faith enough to move a mountain, but have not charity, here's a tinkling brass and sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. And so instead of going around moving mountains, I know I've shared it with you before, but I'd hear the preacher preach out in grottos, and we had about a half hour drive home when I was a kid, that if you had faith of a mountain, you could speak into the mountain and be cast into the sea. I tried to move every mountain between grottos and Shenandoah. I'd be mountain getting the sea. And that, you know what? Those mountains are still there. Amen. But I do know one thing. God can move some mountains in our life, can't he? Amen. That God is our refuge and strength, and he is a place. Where are we going to look? Are we looking to the hills from whence cometh our help? Our help comes from the Lord. And here's his resume for us this morning, which made heaven and earth. Amen. Where are we putting our trust? We're putting our trust today in the one that made heaven and earth. We're putting our refuge and our comfort and our peace is found in the one that created all things, that has all power, that is omnipotent, omnipresent, that has all the powers that be or ordained of God. Amen. That's where our help is. That's where our comfort is. Amen. And so this is the direction to which we look. From which cometh our help? We all need help, don't we? Anybody here need some help this week? Well, I have. Amen. Where are we looking? Where are our eyes? They're on an able God today, aren't they? Remember over in Ephesians, Paul said this, and I might not quote it exactly right, but unto him who is able to do exceedingly, let's don't miss a single adjective there, exceedingly, abundantly above all that we ask or think. Wow. There is nothing left out of that, isn't it? Paul says, unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even think. Amen. That's our God this morning. Amen. That's the one that's keeping us. That's the one that's got his eyes upon us today. Amen. And he is our comfort. He is our help. Now, the psalmist here is going to shift gears just a little bit, because he's going from the I will lift up mine eyes into the from whence cometh my help. So it's sort of some personal pronouns there. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And from here, he's going to go into a second person, if you will. He says, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Now, Whether or not the psalmist is shifting gears just a little bit and moving from himself to others, or maybe he's just talking to himself. I heard one preacher say that. I liked it. Maybe you ever just talk to yourself? If you're going to talk to yourself, talk sense to yourself. Amen. Don't talk things that don't make any sense. Man, you can get around looking at things around you and begin to think about things going on all around you, and you get all upset and discouraged. But if we're going to talk to ourselves, let's say, why so downcast, oh my soul? Put your trust in God. Amen. That's the kind of stuff we want to speak to ourselves in, isn't it? Amen. And so when we think here this morning, behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. He is our keeper. Ran across an old hymn this week, and I wrote it down because I love the words on it. It said, be still my soul, the Lord is on thy side. With patience bear thy cross of grief or pain. When's the last time you heard that in a Christian song? Wow, we're triumphalism, right? What are you talking about bearing? What's this word patience you speak of? I know not what that means. Why? Because we like to speak victory. But yet here, a psalm written from 1697 is talking about bearing under. With patience, bear thy cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. And every change, he faithful will remain. Amen. That God will be faithful. There's many that are bearing their cross today. There's many that are in the church of Jesus Christ, yet understand that it can also bring suffering. And so the source of our keeping, amen, the source of our keeping is one that neither slumbers nor sleep. So if we got the source of our keeping, now let's talk about the extent of our keeping. The Lord is our help. I will look unto the Lord. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. So that's the kind of things we can talk to ourselves about. Man, our God neither, it's not, you know, appreciate an attentive mother that sleeps ever so lightly. Sure, you that have had children understand what it is to, now they got monitors all the way, right? They got devices. Maddie's got more devices. Reese is always watched. Something is always, she's always on video. But Maddie sleeps. So as attentive as we try to be, nothing compares to the eye of God. Because when we think about our God, he neither slumbers. It ain't like he's just sleeping lightly. You remember when, was it Elijah that got the prophets up there on Mount Carmel? And there they were, all the prophets of Baal gathered together against Elijah, and they were going to call out to their gods. And so they all gathered together there, all these prophets, and they begin to cry out, oh Baal, hear us. Oh Baal, hear us. And the Bible says that they cried out from morning till noon. No voice, nor any that answered. Now, I love what Elijah did here. Because I think I would have done this. You know what he did? He began to mock. Said, cry louder. If he's a God, maybe he's talking to someone. He didn't say this, but we could say it. Maybe he's on the phone. Maybe he's out pursuing. Or he's on a journey somewhere. Or maybe he's asleep. And you must awaken him. The Bible says he began to mock him. But you know, if you read on a little further there, after those prophets of Baal had cut themselves and cried out, all day long. Elijah. He just simply lifted his hands. I just picture this. That's why I see it. Prayed a little simple prayer. And God answered by fire. Why? Because Elijah's God didn't have to be wakened up. He wasn't on a phone. He wasn't on a journey. Amen. He was present help. I love it. A present help in time of need. Amen. He's always there. How many times have you fallen on your knees before the Lord and cried out to God and know that he heard you? Amen. And so as they would travel on this pilgrimage, they would begin to cry out to the Lord. Verse 5, the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Both extremes, if you will. All between, from the rising of the sun to the time that the moon begins to shine, we don't have to be afraid. God is ever present. That's the extent of our help this morning. And why? Because he's never asleep. All right, so let's look at this keeping lived out. We're talking about the keeping of the Lord, God our keeper. So how does this look when we think about Scripture? Does that mean nothing bad ever happens to a believer? Well, of course not. That would be silly. It's the very Word of God itself proves that. How would Job sing this psalm? Or maybe Joseph. Remember Joseph? You think he knew trials? Did he know hardship? Did he know suffering? Sold as a slave? Despised by his own family? Cast into prison and seemingly forgot? I like the way, I think it was maybe Alistair Begg, I heard him describe it this way, and I liked it because it kind of reminds me. You know, sometimes it's like looking at a work of art. I can't explain it as good as he could because I don't have that cool accent, but I wish I did. But it's like you're looking at a work of art, and sometimes we just stand too close to the picture. We just get too close and we can't see the whole picture. And even in our lives and walking with the Lord, you know, Joseph, if you'd have asked him while he was in the prison, he might have had a different tale to tell. But he stood faithful, didn't he? Look how he finally responds. I was looking at this passage. It's over in Genesis chapter number 50. He actually responds this way twice to his brothers, the ones that had sold him into slavery, had thrown him into that pit. And you know, when he first reveals himself to them, you know the story, how that he makes it clear that the hand of the Lord was in this. And they seem satisfied for a while, but then after their father, Jacob, is buried in the land of Canaan, it's like they think now, okay, now Joseph's coming after us, that he was only not doing it because Dad was alive. Now Dad's gone and he's coming to get us. And so once again, they were afraid. Well, Joseph responds to him again because this is how Joseph sees 121, if you will. Psalm 121, he says this. And Joseph said unto them, Genesis 50, verse 19. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it for good, or meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not. I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Joseph was able to step back from the picture and see the hand of God. Amen. Some of the testimonies that Melody was sharing with us a while ago about those that were in prison, especially the woman asked about the situation and how it was. Wow, to respond with a positive way. Why? Because she was able to step back and see God moving and God saving and God bringing people to him. Amen. And I'm sure going through that situation at the time, there's no way you would describe that as being pleasant. But when you can step back from it and see God moving and see God working. And this is how Psalm 121 has worked all out through Scripture. I mean, when we stand farther back from the picture, that we take what the Bible says in the context of what the Bible reveals. I mean, even with whether it be the Apostle Paul or Job or anyone else, Job went so far as to say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Amen. He knew that God was a keeper. The Hebrew children cast in the fire, they knew that God was a keeper. But they also knew there was a chance that he might not deliver. But yet still, they served their God. I mentioned the Apostle Paul a while ago. Seems like a good place to go with respect to his life. And we're studying him here. Lord willing, we'll have our Bible study this Wednesday night. We've been looking at the life of the Apostle Paul, and we've just gone through his that great experience he had on the road, and how that God revealed himself to him. Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus. Well, this week we're getting into the Lord sending, was it Ananias, to him and showing him, as Jesus puts it this way, show him which things he will suffer for my namesake. Now, Lord, if you're looking for volunteers, it doesn't seem like a great way to get them. But listen how Paul finishes his life out. You know where it is. It's over in 2 Timothy chapter number 4 when he says this, verse 5, but watch in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. This is Paul giving direction here to young Timothy and to all those moving into the ministry, if you will. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. That looks like someone that's been standing back far enough from the picture, don't they? Even they've stood back far enough and say, Lord, God, I want to be faithful. I've been faithful in afflictions. Lord, I've done the work of an evangelist. I've made full proof of my ministry. I'm ready. Knowing that all is employed by God. All the powers that be. I know that there'll be questions that we'll take into eternity. We'll all have them. Lord, why this? Why did this happen? Why did this work out this way? And I'm assured this morning to know that it'll make sense. It might not today, and it may not in this life, but eventually we may know that's how that worked out. Man, I mean, if I'm God, I'm sending the red wave. I'd have done it. I'd have made all the states red. But we can be red and still be lost. What people need is Jesus. Amen. What they need to hear is the gospel of Jesus Christ. God uses, God, he can, it's almost like what I guess it was the prophet that talked about those that sow to the wind and reap the whirlwind. God used everything for his purpose. And there may be a time when we'll look back and we'll say, that's why it happened that way. Boy, if I'd have had my way, I'd have messed it all up. But yet God has a plan. Man, now, and part of that plan sometimes is he gives us what we want. Man, and then he'll give you more than what you want. And then he'll give you more of that until you've had all you can take. Man, and I think a lot of times that's what's happening in our life. We say, Lord, I would have done it this way, but God, he can even employ evil deeds and intentions to defeat evil itself. What was it David there in the 23rd Psalm said? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Amen. There's some times we've got to go through, but yet our confidence is in God. I will look into the mountains from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. He will preserve. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. He is our keeper. Man. He is our preserver. What was it Hebrew says? Looking unto Jesus. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus this morning. Amen. Let's pray that those that are being persecuted for their faith or thrown in prison or can't have an open service, that they'll just keep their eyes on Jesus. Amen. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And then it says this, who for the joy, then the Bible tells us that, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Man, so if we look at even in the life of Christ, if we see Psalm 121 lived out, we said that he endured the cross, despising the shame for the joy that was set before him. Amen. I often think of the, I'm sure I've quoted them here before. The words was of Corrie Ten Boom. Look around and be distressed. Look within and be depressed. Look at Jesus and be at rest. Amen. He is our rest today, isn't he? Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word today. God, we're thankful, Lord, that we know that you are our keeper, O God. Lord, you are our preserver. And Father, even though in the midst of a storm, we may be going through a battle right now, there may be some here this morning that wonder, God, are you there? Do you hear? Are you hearing my prayer? God, let us be assured this morning from thy word that you promised us that we are looking unto you, looking unto Jesus. Our eyes are upon the Lord. You are our help, maker of heaven and earth. And God, we know that you are a present help. God, you are there. You know our needs. You told us in your word that we didn't even need to be anxious for anything. God, that you see the little sparrow when it falls. Lord, the very hairs of our head are numbered. Just showing the attention and the detail from which you pay to your very own. God, we thank you for that promise, Lord. Let us rest in it today. Let us, Lord, surrender to your word, God, when it tells us not to be anxious, not to worry. God, let that be lived out in our lives. And God, that we too can rest in you, look to Jesus, and be at rest. We thank you for that today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet this morning, if you would.